It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome into another edition of Kamali and Mack. I'm Chris Mack. He's Mark Kamali. Stillers got to play the Bungles again this weekend. We'll see if they can get it together compared to where they were a couple weeks ago down in Cincinnati. And we'll talk about it from all angles. We got Yins covered. And later in the show, special guest. I'm sure we'll talk about the Steelers with them, but also his Pitt Panthers have a massive game Saturday afternoon. Doug Whaley going to join us.
Coming senior through on the promise.
Yep. He walked by. For those of you that watched the post-game show on Sunday when Kaboom was out in L.A., Whaley walked by, just kind of did the right behind Kaboom during the show. And we said, hey, if you're going to walk by, you've got to actually make an appearance on the show. So we worked it out. Doug is going to join us in, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes from now. And we'll talk about Pitt Notre Dame, whether the Panthers can actually lose by 100 and everybody would be happy with it, like Pat Narduzzi. And Steelers Bengals as well. Friggin' Narduzzi. And let me just say this, because everybody thinks, since I'm a Penn State guy, that I don't root for Pitt. I would love to see Pitt beat Notre Dame. I'd love to see Pitt beat Notre Dame, beat Georgia Tech, beat Miami, go to the ACC championship game and end up in the playoff. I would love nothing more than that for all of our Pitt Panther friends. So I will not be rooting against Pitt. And I certainly don't want to see them lose by 100. I actually have them covering the 12.5 point spread at the very least, if not pulling off the outright upset.
You know, it's my one blowback or disappointment with Pitt, but this is with all fan bases. You got that core group of insufferables, and this is with every sport, every team, that in the back of your mind you're like, man, these sons of but this is it's every team, right? But it just seems like Pitt comes out of the woodwork, just like, you know, the Pirates from time to time. But that's the only thing I think of, because if they would be insufferable if they made the college football playoffs.
That's okay. I mean,
I'm just saying all the teams are like this, but
yes, every fan base is like this, especially in college sports, college football, especially when your team is winning, you're riding high and you're thumbing your nose at everybody else. When you're not, it's a different story. But no, I would like to see Pitt do well. I'm okay with that. We'll talk to Doug Whaley about her name just a little bit. It's sold out. How about that? All them Irish fans filling up Akershore.
Hey, I remember back 20 years ago, the Wani Weiss game. Oh, and I actually covered that game because that was supposed to be the introduction of the new Pitt Panthers. And it was like,
yeah.
So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Don't bring that up next week, okay?
Why is that? Why? Who's going to be on?
Wani. Next Wednesday.
Oh, my. One Baldwin. Am I going to have to just sit back and...
You're going to have to sit back and listen to us tell North Baldwin stories, St. Wendelin stories, all of it. But yeah, Dave Wonstead will join us next week. It's perfect because it's Bears week. So
Bears week. Pitt coming off a big win at Notre Dame.
Yep. Yeah,
maybe the Dolphins on... You know, coming down the road here a week or two. There you go.
Yeah, we got a lot going on here, people. We appreciate your support. Make sure you're following on social media, subscribed on YouTube, because the giveaways are going to come fast and furious over the next month and a half. We've got great stuff planned for you, including nobody yet, because we're still not at the magic number of 3,018 subscribers. Nobody yet has gotten the autographed Will Hard helmet. Or the Stone Cold Steve Austin vest. Hopefully we hit those numbers during the holidays. Perfect gift for somebody else or yourself, maybe.
For Christmas, for the holidays?
What?
For the holidays? Hey, here's this Will Howard. I think, wow, they really love me. Nah, I got it for free from this podcast I subscribed. But they don't need to know that.
No, they don't need to know. They can think you spent a ton of money on it at First and Goal. Thanks to Higgins Professional Painting. They did a great job over Kaboom's house just the other day. He's going to have him back out. I'm going to have to get him over here soon because my wife wants stuff done. And we don't just have anybody in our houses. We have true professionals who know what they're doing and do a fantastic job. They've been doing it for four decades. Higgins Professional Painting, family owned, Don founded it years ago. The family carries on the tradition of great customer service, great work, interior, exterior painting. They'll do the drywall repair. If you own your own business, they'll do commercial and industrial as well. Hit them up, HigginsProfessional.com or 412-344-0480. Get your free estimate today from Corey and the boys. They will take care of you. We promise. All right, here's what I don't want to hear after Sunday's game. Kaboom. This is what I do not want to hear from Mike Tomlin or anybody else. Well, we got behind the chains. We were behind the sticks and long third downs, and that's why we couldn't run the ball. We couldn't get it to Jalen as much as we wanted. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. The last thing I want to hear on Sunday afternoon, and it shouldn't be a huge problem against this Bengals defense, but they have to feed Jalen Warren. Dude had 127 yards against the Bengals the first time around. I think it's the second highest rushing total of his career. He's only had one other game in the 120s. It was against Cleveland a couple years back. They've got to feed Jalen Warren early. I also am convinced they've got to get Darnell Washington on the field as much as possible. Pump him the ball a couple times early, too. You made a good point the other day. You said, hey, Darnell's like an 8 yards at a time kind of guy. He's not going to break a lot of long running catches, but I'm fine with that. Hand it off to Jalen Warren, get it to Darnell Washington on early downs, and stop this complaining about, well, we were behind the chains. It was third and long and we couldn't run the ball. Well, then manage the game better.
Yeah. I mean, third downs are right up there. And I guess that goes with what you're talking about is setting up third and manageable situations where you don't have to sit back and scour the field and potentially bring some pressure into the account right there. So everything goes easier when you're able to run the ball, and you would think that he would be able to run the ball against this god-awful defense. And, I mean, there's multiple facets of them running the ball well, helping him win this game. Obviously, we know on the other side of the ball with Higgins and Chase and the other Chase, that they can put up some points. I mean, I think they're the highest point total of the week, maybe. I think it's in the 50s or in the high 40s or something like that.
It's got to be in the 50s.
So it's out of control. This is a game where you can just get right again, you know. Your offense looks good.
Offensively.
Rodgers can get back on, you know, this little blip in the radar, which I do believe it is just a little blip. Calvin Austin looking a little bit better, but it probably does start with running the ball. But the problem is you can't be overly committed to it. You can be committed to it, but I don't want to see first down run, second down run you have to have a scheme associated with this.
Yeah, and that's, don't mistake what I'm saying about feeding Jalen Warren early and often as turn around and hand it off on first and second down every time. But, you know, they need to lean into the fact that he had a huge game against the Bengals last time. And maybe the Bengals will scheme something up differently on defense, but they're awful, right? Like Paul Daner told us the other day, like this is a historically awful defense. And
you can't tackle. And now you're getting the 250-pound locomotive coming at you. You're not going to want to tackle that either.
He's like a bowling ball covered in razor blades. Nobody wants to tackle Jalen Warren once he gets moving. So lean into that and put together some drives. How many times in the last few weeks, and I'll include the Colts game in this as well, they haven't put together a lot of long drives. They're good for maybe one long drive a week. And they've got to possess the ball more. We talked about that after the Chargers game. They got dominated in time of possession again. They've got to put together some drives. And the last thing I want to hear is, well, we got behind the sticks. You can't go 0 for 8 or 9 or whatever it was on third downs before you finally get one in the fourth quarter. They have to bounce back. And like you said, the prescription that's been written is perfect. Here you go, the Bengals defense.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do this on the fly here, and you're talking about your position. How longest possession they've had. The longest possession they had against the Chargers lasted 5 minutes and 1 second. There was a lot of threes and twos and ones and stuff like that. I'm just trying to look at even before that, the Colts game. That was before that, right?
Yep.
their longest drive. They did have an 8-minute drive.
Yeah.
But they ended up no, my fault. My fault. Wrong team.
No, they did have one long drive against the Colts. They got a lot of short fields because of the turnovers.
Here's their drive chart in against the Colts. Minute and a half, 2 minutes, minute and a half, 5 minutes, 50 seconds, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah. And again, a lot of that was were short fields. Like, you can't blame a team that gets the ball at midfield for not putting together an 8-minute drive. But it's
Packers just, game, longest one, 5 minutes.
It's been lacking over the last 4 weeks where we've seen them actually possess the ball. And all year long, really, possession has been an issue for them. They've lost the time of possession battle, I want to say, every week. Maybe not Minnesota, maybe not Cleveland. But they can't leave that defense out on the field because they're going to get absolutely just destroyed by Ja'Marr Chase if they're leaving the defense out there.
You look at the Seattle game even. They had an opening kickoff that lasted almost 6 minutes, but after that, not much. It would help. And I think T.J. Watt was right. You know, we're playing too much defense. We're on the field too much. But, you know, it's okay if we can get a three and out every once in a while and sit our butts on the bench, you know. Defenses are good defense a lot of times because they're not on the field. It could be partially because of the offense, but the defense has to take some responsibility as well.
TJ used the phrase bow up like 3 times in his post-game press conference.
He said a couple F-words yesterday.
Oh, really?
Talking to Joey Porter. He says, let's go, Joe. We got an effing game to win.
Oh, is that? See, I heard somebody yelling in the background. We got meetings. Let's go. I couldn't tell who it was.
Honestly, that locker room is. You got to spend 3 days in that locker room just to get one story. That's how little people are in there and available at this time, other than the gangbangs. They have their specific gangbangs of Hayward, Rogers, DK, Ramsey, Watt. Other than that, it's tough. I give you you know who was very elusive? Jaylen Warren, very elusive this week in the locker room. It's like,
he knew
people were waiting for him.
No offense to Jaylen Warren, but I don't know how much he has to say anyway. He's just not a very talkative dude.
Yeah, like, but he was definitely aware of the questions that were going to be asked of him, I think.
Thanks to Archie for supporting the show. Arch is a wonderful human being. Going to stop down there next week and pop in, maybe grab some wings. 80-cent wings every Monday through Thursday night at Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. If you're not going to the Pitt-Notre Dame game tomorrow, didn't get tickets. If you're not going to Steelers-Bungles or any other game, or you just want to spend maybe a Thursday night like last night, hanging out, having some great wings, a couple ice-cold irons, and watching the games, it's the best place to do it. Archie's on Carson, great menu too. If you don't, I don't know anybody worth knowing that's not into wings, but maybe you're not in the mood for wings one day. Sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas, all of it delicious. Get on down to Archie's on Carson and get yourself some wings. And like I said, an ice cold iron or two. We appreciate Mongo. Arch.
Hey, what about our buddy Phil sending us that photo of that classic mango?
A remote control.
I was jealous.
Icy light mango cooler.
Oh, that's laziness times a million. I love it.
No, that's ingenious is what that is.
I got to look and see if you can find one of those suckers online.
Yeah. I mean, it's the way to go, especially you're tailgating, you know?
You want a beer? Let me get it to you.
Just drive it right over there. Bang. There you go.
That's pretty neat.
Pitt fans, including our buddy Phil, are getting fired up for tomorrow. But let's keep focused on the Steelers here for just a few more minutes. Because the Steelers injury report, what's up with Highsmith? Didn't practice yesterday.
I mean, he's been hot too. I think he's had 4 sacks in the last, two games. I think he leads the team in sacks right now.
Yep.
It's so hard to tell. Once again, he could just be taking that day off. Because he felt a little twinge. I don't know. You'll find out more later today when they get on the field. But I wouldn't anticipate anything being I saw him running around, moving around. But that doesn't really mean anything. So you're just going to have to wait and see. Same with, I think, a lot of those guys. I think Asante Samuel will be a guy that's going to be a keep an eye open Saturday if they move him up to the practice squad, to the active roster. There's going to be a couple guys like that. But, hey, Will Howard's going to get a helmet, so that's all that matters.
There you go. Everybody's excited about Will Howard being active.
Well, he's just such a – honestly, he's such a nice guy, a smart guy, a hardworking guy. It's hard not to be attracted to him when he's just – when you see him out there. That's a guy you would – there's not many people in the profession anymore that you really give a crap, you know, whatever. Being in long as I've been in covering a team, you're like, I don't care they win. Sometimes you root for guys to be successful. Will Howard's that guy that everybody wants to root to be successful because – he does everything properly.
Well, and on top of all of that, there is, I don't think it's just a Pittsburgh thing. I think it's most sports fans, most teams. There is a romanticism in everybody's head about the guy that's not in there, because you're not watching the guy that's not in there make mistakes. It's like with a backup goalie, a backup quarterback, whoever it is, you think about the best possible things they can do. You don't think, oh, they're going to put him in there and he's going to make mistakes. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Will Howard should be going into a football game anytime soon. I know there's people in the chat last episode talking that up. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
Two plays away,
I guess. But, you know, people will love anybody who has that kind of attitude and work ethic and all the stuff you mentioned. Until they get out on the field and make a mistake. And that's when they turn
off. Did anybody ever clamor for Mason Rudolph to be in there until he was in there and was successful?
Were you listening to our podcast before Rodgers was signed? Were you reading the comments?
Well, that was because he had that great end of last year.
Did you read the comments this week? I mean, there were plenty of people.
Well, what about when Trubisky and Pickett, and was there anybody saying, hey, throw Mason in there? No, they're like, Mason should be cut. So I don't know if that applies across the board.
That was before Mason saved Christmas. But no, I just look, I'm not taking anything away from the people that love Will Howard. You're right. He does and says all the right things, and that's awesome. But the first time he gets in there and gets an opportunity to play and screws up and makes a mistake, because it'll happen. It happens to everybody. They will.
They'll boo him?
They might not boo him, but it's a lot more. The thought is a lot more romantic until a player actually goes out there and starts playing and makes mistakes, because every player makes mistakes. Joey Porter made a lot of them last time against Cincinnati.
The whole figured out, dude. He's had 26 either pass interference or defensive holding calls in his career. He's only played 39 games.
That number is insane. I saw you put that in your story this morning.
I don't know how many were accepted. Those were called on him.
But still, I mean, what did Jamar Chase call him? Handsy?
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching that, and there ain't nobody's going to be watching the Jamar Chase press conference. And I was watching it, and all of a sudden – I hear that. I'm like, that's kind of funny. And I tweeted it. And what do you know? It just pops up on blogs and Benzie's Morning Java or whatever they call it.
No,
I wonder if they watched it and thought of the same thing of me or just saw the tweet.
You turned everybody on to it.
Oh, it's somebody asked him. I don't even know who it was. Hey, what do you think of Porter? Oh, handsy, real handsy.
He doesn't seem all that concerned, though, Jamar Chase, with whoever might be.
Yeah, I don't think he knows who's playing where. He's like, who the hell cares? I'm just going to go beat you physically anyways. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, when you what do you have, 14 catches?
Yeah, 16, I think, was it? And he had 23 targets?
I mean,
he averages about 6 for 100 in the touchdown over his career, right around there.
That's the thing. They've never been able to – I mean, they've been able to limit him sometimes. But for the most part, Jamar Chase has just been a nightmare for the Steelers. I don't know if they have the answers this weekend, especially. Like, you've got James Pierre, who you pointed out in your story as well, got absolutely tortured by T. Higgins a few years ago.
Twice, really. He did it early in the season, too.
You got Joey Porter, who, look, I think he can be really good at times, but there are times where, depending on the officiating crew, he does. He gets too physical and starts drawing flags. And then you've got what after that? Brandon Echols, who's fallen off the last couple of weeks, I think. maybe Asante Samuel. I mean, that's, I don't know how realistic it is for him to be on the field Sunday.
I mean, if you're Asante Samuel and you have, you're the Steelers and you're one play away from going with Brandon Echols or Asante Samuel, what you would do would be like, just go cover him, dude. You know, I don't care what the scheme is. Just go follow him around.
Yeah.
Can't be any worse. I mean, that as I wrote, that secondary is, I mean, it's been a month. It'll be a month of the day on Sunday. And it's one person staying the same. You got like six different people and moving all around here.
Do you think Ramsey's going to stay exclusively at safety in this game?
I think for the most part, unless it becomes very apparent that nobody else can cover Jamar. Then what do you do with safety? You throw Chuck Clark back out there? What do you do?
I mean, what else is there?
I mean, at this point, you got Duggar and Ramsey. You pretty much like the back half of your defense, your back safeties. Right now, they seem like they're going to be solid. Now.
But this doesn't do anything. This doesn't do anything to fix the primary issue on that Thursday night game a month ago, which was Flacco getting rid of the ball in 2.2 seconds every time.
Yeah. And apparently, their plan is going to be to prevent Jamar Chase to get the ball.
How?
Prevent Jamar Chase to get the ball. You better be praying some press man, my friends.
Right.
It's going to be the same thing.
So, and to play press man, you would think they're also probably going to have Duggar and Ramsey playing high. So then you open things up in the middle, maybe for the tight ends, or you got Chase Brown out of the back. I'll save my official prediction for the end of the show when we do our picks. But I do think the Steelers will win this one because AFC North games just have a history between the Ravens, Bengals, and Steelers anyway, of the script flipping a good bit in the second matchup. But I don't feel great about this defense locking down Jamar Chase. I don't. Like, he could have 9 catches and 100 yards for a touchdown, and maybe the Steelers still get away with it just because they can hang 30 on the Bengals' defense.
I think the key is going to be at least make Flacco hold the ball for more than 2.2 seconds. I mean, if you get another fraction out of it, maybe that's a whole difference. Maybe you don't have to, you know, have him scrambling around looking for, you know, 5-7 step drops and going down the field, but you can't allow wide open. You can't, whatever you saw in Cincinnati a month ago, say, we cannot do this and think we're going to win.
Well, and like you said, the only way that I can think of to combat that is to get up in the receivers' faces and get real physical at the line of scrimmage, which, okay, let's say that starts to work. You brought up the other Chase Brown. Daner mentioned him the other day. What do you have, 8 or 9 catches last week? He gashed the Steelers on the ground in the first meeting. Like, that's the other part of this, is that I don't want to call them fully two-dimensional on offense, but they do have a bit of a running game now, and they can use Brown out of the backfield catching the ball as well. And that's another thing that worries me because of this team's inability to tackle.
Which one?
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, like, Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson running sideline to sideline trying to track down Chase Brown as he catches little 6 and 7 yard swing passes and pieces together a drive. That's great that you get there eventually, but like, I don't feel very confident in their ability to cover him coming out of the backfield either.
Really? I would make that number 3 worry on the offensive side, maybe 4. You know, I would probably worry more about Chase, Higgins, Flacco, and Brown running the ball more than him catching it out of the backfield.
They look to me like they've figured some things out in stopping the run the last couple weeks. They shut down. They're the only
defense
this year that's shut down Jonathan Taylor.
Until they don't.
Okay.
Like, hey, we're out of our gaps. We got to be more gap friends, gap sound. We got to take accountability. That you talk about those things you don't want to hear about the offense. That's what I don't want to hear about the defense following this game. We're out of our gaps. You know, we got to play responsible football.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I heard Cam Hayward say it again this week, and I don't know why he even brought it up. It's like just like their go-to phrase when talking about what the defense can do to improve. Yeah. Oh, gap soundness, gap ability, gap. If I hear gap one more time,
oh, we got some bad run fits.
Tackle guys, there. That's it. Although I did see some cut-ups, some clips of Y.A. Black from the Chargers game.
He looked good.
He was absolutely manhandling people.
Boy, speaking of that, if I do recall, didn't I mention right during the game that DK Metcalf basically flattened his route instead of went to the end zone for the
– You did?
Mentioned what did DK right Metcalf say yesterday? Oh, he goes, yeah, I flattened that route out. I probably should have went to the end zone. Huh. I don't think he follows me on Twitter, so
you gonna hurt yourself, straight. Patting yourself on the back? No, there?
I mean, just saying. I mean, it's like it's a revelation. Just watch the god darn game.
Watch your language. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. They are the people to go to if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. I know it's a busy time of year. People don't like to move during the holidays, but if you're in that situation and you're looking to buy or sell a home, they are the people to take care of you. You can check all the listings out at heckteamhomes.com, HAECK, and the whole team is there ready to help you find the perfect home and sell the old one as well. Or maybe you're moving into a smaller house. You know, whatever your situation is, they're going to take care of you. We appreciate them supporting us here on the program. Who else did we want to talk about? We talked about Jalen Warren. We talked about Darnell Washington. Well, we talked about Alex Highsmith, Joey Porter, Asante Samuel.
Well, there is this guy that who wears number 8 that some people were questioning.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is it fair to talk about him or fair to question him?
He does. Can I just say he seems to, and maybe he's just, it's because he didn't perform well last week and feels like the offense is taking a step back. He seemed a little bit more ornery this week. This seemed like the old Aaron Rodgers this week. He was not in the mood for anybody's bullshit.
I think he's getting to know sports writers' personalities and tendencies of asking questions.
Yeah.
So I think he knows that's why it tends to be a handful of people that he's darting. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
I mean, there were.
I'm not going to tell you.
There were. Yeah.
My favorite one of all time.
There were a couple darts like that one you just mentioned that he threw at Brooke Pryor.
Oh, he did that a number of times, but that's funny.
But just in general, like there was. He did not seem as excited to talk to people this week as he has been since coming to Pittsburgh.
You know, after you go to Y108 and play some wrong songs and think you're putting Shaboozy on, but you really put Jelly Roll on, you don't really want to talk about it, do you?
I've never played the wrong song before. I'm not sure how that happened.
Hey, welcome. I mean, like that.
I get it. You have a bad day at work. You don't want to talk about it.
Sort of like when you were interviewing that lady last night and she was all creeped out by you.
That wouldn't be the first time I creep somebody out. Won't be the last.
Go on Instagram with Y18 and Mac, and he was interviewing some. I don't know who it was. It was a
Morgan Gruber is her name. She's a local girl. Yeah,
not relation to SNL's Max Gruber. Was it
Gruber?
No. But when you were interviewing her, she was like, "Dude, back up."
Hold on, I'm standing. Probably,
telling you.
I was not in close talker mode. I was not. Ooh. I had a microphone that you have to hold in front of someone's face when you're talking.
She had some uncomfortable vibes. I was watching.
Because if anybody can read the vibes of a female via Instagram, it's you.
I guarantee that's right. Everybody in the comments, go look at Mac's Instagram. I don't even know if it's on yours or Y18. I don't know. She was freaked out.
Okay. I'm sure she would have been a lot more comfortable around you, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know how to charm them.
You're full of charm, let me tell you. Just absolutely full of it. We mentioned earlier there's a massive game Saturday down at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. Pitt is hosting Notre Dame. Game day is down there. It is going to be huge for everybody involved, except maybe Pat Narduzzi, who thinks they could lose by 100 and still be okay. Who better to talk to about everything going on with Pitt and with the Steelers than a man who's got deep ties to Pitt and professional football? Our guy Doug Whaley is here. Doug, how you doing, my friend?
Fellas, I'm doing great. I appreciate the flexibility. Thank you.
We appreciate you taking the time, man.
You're out on the West Coast getting some sun while we're up here freezing with the hoodies. I see how you work.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Today is 90% and tomorrow's 100% chance of rain. So I'm going back to my Tony days. I thought it never rained in Southern California. Come on now. Give me some love.
Damn. Yeah. Well, you got the shirt on. So
absolutely.
You're going to be getting up early to watch tomorrow's game. I want to start with Pitt, and we can work our way back to the Steelers.
Yes.
What was Pat thinking when he said that the other day? Like, seriously, man.
That's Pat being Pat. He doesn't have a filter. And in essence, obviously, we know what he's trying to say. He's trying to take that pressure off his team, pressure off his freshman quarterback, and saying, hey, fellas, this, no matter which way this goes, it will not alter our ultimate goal, which is to get to the ACC championship. Now, how he had to wax poetically about getting beat 100 and something to nothing, that's just, we all know it, and which is great for us in the media because we got points to talk about. But his message is really, and if you think about slightly kind of genius, hey, let's take, everybody's going to be hyped. We got game day. We got ACC huddle. First time Pitt and Notre Dame have matched up and being ranked opponents since 91. So there's a lot out there that if he doesn't curb and take off their plate, especially with this young team, young quarterback, more importantly, that it could get overwhelming. So I can see what he was doing.
Doug, they had really, really bad losses against West Virginia and Louisville. That Louisville one was ugly. At that point, did you ever feel that this team had this in them? I mean, even if you were staying with one quarterback or going to the freshman, did you ever have that feeling that this could be what this team could turn into?
Well, you saw it at times, and the biggest issue was they weren't playing complementary football because their offense would score in three plays or three and out, and then their defense is really predicated on splash and big plays. So they're going to give up some plays. So if they're sitting there and they're not keeping the ball on offense and the opposing offense starts getting more plays than your offense, then that's not how this team is built. That's not a Narduzzi team with a Narduzzi defense with a K-Bell offense. Why you're seeing this winning streak is that offense is being able to sustain drives, and they're not relying on the big play, which keeps that defense fresh and being able to be aggressive. So that's where I think the crux of it, and that's where once they started doing that, you see they've been able to put together a string of wins.
Explain Mason Heinchel, because I don't think anybody who doesn't pay close attention to Pitt football, I mean, I'm sure there are some diehard Pitt fans who are like, oh, okay, I've heard good things about him. But he, for the most part, came out of nowhere and has, I mean, pushed this offense to a whole nother level. And so they're two-dimensional now. They can throw, they can run, and he has that little bit of an it factor, too, where, like, if they got down in this game, not down big, but if they're down a score late, I'm not going to immediately just cast aside the idea of them maybe coming back, because this kid has shown the ability to show up in big moments.
Well, and I'll tell you this much. I'll give you a quick story. I played with Reuben Brown at Pitt, first round pick by the Bills, and probably a second year in, he was playing with Jim Kelly. We're just talking, chopping it up in the offseason. I said, what's the hardest or the most interesting thing about being a pro? He says, Doug, in the pros, when you have a quarterback, he could throw four picks in the first half. Everybody in that locker room believes we still can win. And when you look at this freshman coming in, first start ever at Florida State, on the road, hostile environment, throw two picks, but still not phase and bring that team back, not only does that show that it you're talking about, and there's no real definition, but it's like, as that old saying, that corny saying, if you've seen pornography, you know what it is. If you've seen the it factor, in a quarterback, no. Yeah. You know what it is. And you can't explain it. It's just that it factor. But the most important thing is he has every man in that locker room and actually in that building believing no matter what, he can overcome mistakes and lead us to the promised land.
He's been amazing. My question would be is how much does Cade Bell have to take? Well, he's not going to take credit for it. How mm-hmm. much does he have in where he's at right now?
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those things where Cade Bell is putting him in positions to be successful. Is he a finished product? No. And that's great. Think about the upside this guy has, because the more things he sees and the more time on task, the better he's going to get. He's going to be able to see, be able to anticipate a blitz, be able to throw in a hot read now, not be able to understand situational awareness. And in the red zone, you don't have to try to force it, live to fight another day. All those nuances of the position, he's only going to get better. But Cade has to have some credit by taking a young freshman with no experience in the Power Four level and putting him in position to be successful with the skill set he has.
Can they shut down Love and Price? I mean, this is a fantastic run defense, but this is maybe the best running back tandem in the country. So this is strength against strength. Right. If they're able to shut down Love and Price, and I think I'd like Jeremiah Love since last year, and I think we talk about how running backs shouldn't be first-round picks anymore. He's a classic example of a guy who should be a first-round pick. I think it would be, I don't want to say monumental, but it would be incredible if they could completely take Notre Dame's run game out of this. I think you just try to limit it.
Yeah, I think, well, let's start with Love. He is an exceptional running back. And if I was Love's rep or I was Love, I'd be on the phone with Genty saying, hey, man, you need to start playing better. Because if you don't, I'm not going to get picked in the first round. But he is an exceptional talent. And here's where I go back again, complementary football. It's strength against strength. Pitt's run defense against Notre Dame's rushing attack. The best way to help that is to control the ball, have some long drives, and put up points. Get into the position where when you're in the red zone, score touchdowns, not field goals. So if you're scoring touchdowns and you're holding the ball, then they can't be as reliant on that running game, because they're going to have to say, hey, we got to start pushing it down the field to counter that seven that they just put up on us. So again, keeping that defense fresh is probably the best way to go about it, but it's going to be a heavyweight fight. But I look at it this way. To be the best, you got to beat the best. And if we want Pitt, and Pitt wants to be mentioned as a top team that should be battling not only for ACC titles and championship games, but a CFP position, these are the type of games that will instill confidence not only in their locker room, but the fan base and the media.
Well, like you said, they have to stop the run, Doug. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's too many people that can do that better than Kyle Lewis, right? My question with you being a former GM in the pro level, is he a pro? Can you see him translating into the pros, even though he's, what is he, 6 foot, 220 right now? Because he got the heart and he got everything else.
And you said it right there. He's got the football instincts and the heart. He's one of those guys that you're going to have a vision for. He's not a plug-and-play guy across any type of defense. He's going to a specific defense that values instincts, speed over size, and stuff like that. So a guy that can cover, he's not going to be a downhill take on the ISO type linebacker. And if you draft him for that, that's your fault. He's a C ball, get ball type guy. And let's make disruptive plays by scheming up on blitzes and stuff like that. So you need him to have a good defensive line in front of him and let him just run and use his instincts and explosiveness to the ball.
Can they really finish the season on a 9-game win streak and end up in the playoff, Doug? I mean, it's laid out in front of them right now. Yeah. And they would be the hottest team in college football.
Hottest team in college
football. If they were able to pull off this trifecta at the end of the year. Georgia Tech is, I think, despite last week's loss, a really good team. Miami, you know, fits and starts. I'm not a big Carson Beck believer, but if they could pull that off, they would be the hottest team in college football going into the CFP.
Oh, no doubt. And I think you're, first of all, you're going straight to ACC championship. Mm-hmm. Second of all, like you said, with that hot streak, no matter what that ACC championship, the result of that, you might have put yourself in a position for a CFP spot, even if you lose the ACC championship, if you run these three. Because you think about it, it's three ranked opponents. Notre Dame is they're going to be in the CFP. Georgia Tech's been at the top of the ACC all year. And then Miami, like you said, they were hot early. They've dropped a couple, but they're still Miami. So there's a cachet in beating Miami. So you put yourself in a good position. But I'm like you, Chris. Notre Dame obviously doesn't affect our ACC, but you want to win that. Out of Georgia Tech and Miami, Georgia Tech to me is the one that gives me that biggest consternation, because that quarterback, that dual threat quarterback, that's a tough assignment right there, and he's playing at a very high level, and it's there in Atlanta. So I think out of those three games the two ACC games, that one is the one that scares me a little more than the Miami.
Doug, there's probably not a better guy to ask than you about this. About the NIL, mm-hmm. Is it broken? Do you like it? Can it be fixed? And if you could fix it, what would you do?
Well, it's not broken. There's just no rules, and there's a limit of 20.5. But if someone goes over, what's the enforcement of it? The NCAA's not going to enforce it, so there's no rules, and that's where I think the issue lies. And for me, it's less on the NIL because in the end, just like if there's anything new, there's going to be a rush. And then people are going to have to level set. Okay, all right, now we've come up with a system that works best for our school. And it may not be to put 13 to 15 million. Whatever it is, whatever is going to have course correction. The thing to me that I think would help with college athletics in general is getting a handle on this transfer portal. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? They've reduced it to one transfer portal session. I think it's January 2nd to the 10th. But for me, it's okay. You get one free transfer if your coach leaves, if you graduate, or if you go to another. And I go to old school when I was in college. If you transfer D1 to D1, you got to sit out a year unless your coaches leaves or you graduate. So you got to put an incentive on there for a guy or a player to say, I want to transfer, instead of just saying, well, I'm not getting playing time, so I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. So that to me would help the system. And in the end, when you start talking about the money, the only real way to get this to a level playing system where you get reporting of contracts, you get a cap management system, and then more importantly is enforcement, is for, and you're seeing it now. University of Kentucky has succeeded their athletic department away from the school. It's its own LLC. And you say, what's the reasoning for that? Now, if they ever deem players, student athletes as employees, it doesn't fall under the university system, so they don't have to have the employee benefits. It's the LLC of UK sports. Guess what happens? Once you deem them employees, they can collectively bargain, and now you have a CBA. So I think in the next 4 to 5 years, you're going to start seeing that same option that college athletic departments are saying, hey, we'll give you a rights fee to sail the banner of Pitt over us, but we're our own LLC. So these players, they're employees, and then that's how you can get a system that is very similar to NFL, but is competitively balanced.
How realistic is it, Doug, do you think that some of these athletic departments should be signing players to multi-year deals? Everything's on, like you said, kind of a year-to-year basis right now. If you find a recruit, a kid that you really like, maybe he transfers in from some other place and he's got multiple years of eligibility left, is that something that you could see coming down the pike where you bring a player in and you say, okay, you're signed to this deal, but you're here for the next 2 years.
Well, that's where you have to get ironclad contracts. And the only way, again, to do that is if you have an enforcement arm and a reporting arm, in which right now we do not, because the NCAA, they got a bunch of people up there making money and doing nothing. So signing to a two-year deal, that sounds great in theory, but they still have that ability to transfer. Now, do you put in a clawback provision saying if you leave, just like a head coach, hey, you're going to have a buyout if you want my guy. So those are the type of things you can, again, put those in the contracts. we could, anybody could put it in now, but who's going to enforce it? So it all comes down to, until you get an enforcement arm or a collective bargaining agreement, it's just the, and everybody says it's just the wild, wild west.
Now, let's pivot a little bit here real quick. Who has a better chance of winning this weekend? Your Panthers against Peters Township or the Steelers against the Bengals?
Oh, Peters is tough. St. Clair's going good. I'm going to have to say, just because of the yo-yo season that we're all used to, this, especially this year with the Steelers, it's going to be the Steelers. And only because I can't see them losing to Cincinnati at home after getting embarrassed last time on Thursday night. But that's 1A, 1B is St. Clair. They're we're ready to flex our supremacy that we usually have in the South Hills in that football. I know Peters has had it last couple years, but we're back, baby. We're back.
I could tell you who never had it. Max, alma mater of Baldwin.
Baldwin. Oh, no. Let's not even talk about it. Let's not even talk about it.
Well, Brian Gelsheiser, they were all right then, back then.
Ensign. Yeah. Yep.
You know. Brian Nessa, yeah. Back in the 80s or 70s.
But let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase, because I don't see – we talked about it earlier before you jumped on, Doug. Other than playing, as Kabali said, press man, getting up in – Chase's face, Higgins for that matter too, and getting super physical at the line of scrimmage, I don't see how they slow him down. I certainly don't think it's going to be like it was on the Thursday night game a month ago. I don't think it possibly can. 23 targets, 14 catches, whatever it was, but I just don't see how they completely take him out of a game.
And they last time they played, it showed that it's going to be very difficult. I personally, what I would do is, especially with the injuries out there, and they've always talked about lack of communication, stop trying to confuse Joe Flacco, because the zone, he's picking you apart, straight up man-to-man. You don't have the horses to handle those guys. I would go what we used to call back in the day is 22 Yale, which is basically underneath man coverage. So you physical press them at the line of scrimmage, have somebody underneath them that can take the underneath routes, that's trailing them, breaks out, and then you have two high safety over top, so they come over top. You put those two guys down. Now this is when the rest of the defense has to step up. The rush defense has to stop the run, because you're committing a lot of resources to cover those two guys. And all the other eligible receivers, the guys have to step up and be able to cover them. The linebackers are going to have to cover the tight ends. Yoshivash, somebody's going to, that number three, whoever that's going to be, Eccles or Pierre, they're going to have to step up and stand on their head and do that. So it's going to be a team effort, but in the end, they all have to raise their level of play.
What was, in your opinion, what was wrong with Aaron Rodgers? And is this something that you have to keep an eye on as you move forward, or is that just a blip in your eyes?
I think right now you consider it a blip. I mean, it's hard to be up and be on for 18 straight games, and especially in an advanced year. So the only reason I would kind of start questioning it is if I saw it in practice. If I could see this happening in practice where he was starting to miss some throws and all of that stuff, then I'd be concerned. But not being there and seeing that, I would just say it's a blip. To me, it was a little more of a mental being uncomfortable. It was the first time I didn't see him confident when he was taking his drop and like knowing where to go with the ball. He looked confused. And that was, to me, why I think it was just a blip. And I think it was just the defensive game plan that he wasn't expecting, more than his physical ability deteriorating.
I know one thing. He's looking good in practice. It hasn't really transferred over to that. So we'll see.
All right. So then, yeah, it's a blip in the screen. If you're telling me that, I'm not worried.
How hard could it be for a player to, Mike Tomlin uses the cliche, jump on the moving train? But Asante Samuel's been in the building for 2-3 days now. Knowing the issues they've have in the secondary, is it realistic to expect him to get elevated from the practice squad Sunday morning and actually play?
That's tough. Only reason I say, well, I'll 2 points. There's a train conductor, and the conductor controls the speed. So let's just put that out there. And two, the only thing that worries, it would make it tough for this guy, is because he hasn't practiced, not talking play, practice in over a year. So to get him in physical shape to be able to go out there and perform at a high level at this stage, the highest stage ever, I think it's going to be less on him being able to understand the game plan and more on him feeling comfortable with his body and how he can react out there. So I'd have to give him, I think, at least a week, maybe two, just to get into that football shape, but more just the mentality of being able to play football.
Interesting. You, LA doing some of your work for your, what league is that called again?
The UFL. No, I just can't. Yeah. Yeah. I was in Florida doing some work for that. I'm out here. Herb Albert and the Tijuana right. Brass Band, their last show ever.
Oh,
my brother lives. Oh. So I'm going to go see my old friend, Alex Van Pelt. He's a senior offensive assistant in the Rams. Watch the Rams and Seahawks game. That's going to be a big, big game.
Hell of a game.
Hey, Mac, do you know that Doug Whaley refuses to be anything but the last person on an airplane?
Oh, they call it the last PAX. And two things, they're not leaving. I've spent so much of my life on airplanes. I'm like, I don't need to be sitting there on the airplane. They shut the door. Let's go. And I just like people looking at me like, we're waiting for this jerk off.
What I never understand is you're on a plane for 5 hours, sitting on your rear end, and you get up, you go out, and you go sit back down as soon as you wait for your layover. Like, no, I need to move around a little bit.
Oh, I'm on constant movement before flights. I just flew from Tampa out here to LA, and I just took laps until they were like calling all passengers. I've even knocked on a door one time to get on a flight.
So when you get to where you're going, are you one of those people that, like, as soon as the plane hits the gate, you jump up?
Oh, no.
I do. Okay.
I imagine Kaboom does. But
I got to stretch the legs, man. I'm not going anywhere.
I can see that. Yeah. But it's the people that get up and then start going ahead of you in the aisle. Like, wait a minute.
Where are you going? Where are you going? You're
just,
not getting
wait
in front
your
of
turn.
Everybody.
Wait your turn.
Yes.
Well, enjoy the trip out west, Doug, getting up early to watch Pitt. I said it earlier to Mark. Like, I am a Penn State guy. Everybody knows that. But I still want to see Pitt win out. I'd love to see Pitt win out and go to the CFP. I think it'd be awesome for the city of Pittsburgh, for Pitt fans. So I will still be rooting for them against Notre Dame tomorrow.
Well, we appreciate that. And I'll tell the your listening audience – and Kabbalah, you can tell, if you've never been on the West Coast for a football Saturday or Sunday, you are missing. There is nothing better than going to brunch and having the football games on. And then the night game is over at like 8 or 9 o'clock. So you still have your night. So it's the best. Out there.
Doug, I was this past week in L.A. I had to wake up at like 6:30 to watch the NFL game in wherever it was, Germany.
Yeah.
Watch football 6:30 in the morning.
What's better than that, Kabbalah?
All day long. Well, Doug, we appreciate it, man. We'll catch up with you again soon. Enjoy the
trip. Doug.
All right, fellas. Take care.
We'll see you. Doug Whaley, gem of a human being, works for the UFL, senior VP of player personnel, football revenue share advisor for Pitt, too. He's helping them figure that out.
Seems like he knows a thing or two about the NIL, huh?
He knows. If there's a guy I would reach out to ask questions about, whether it's college or NFL, about any kind of player personnel stuff, he would be the guy because he lived it in Buffalo, obviously. He's continued to do it with the UFL.
I always forget the UFL, the XFL, the CFL. He's been part of the XFL too, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
And so I always forget where he's at, but he does work for Channel 11.
He has some great rock stories, Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, also, you know what? One hell of a high school athlete.
One hell of a model American.
He was a running back, too.
Played for the great Jim Render.
I don't know about that.
What?
The great part of it.
Wow.
We might butt it head from time to time.
I could see that. I would take that as a badge of honor, butting heads with Render. School journalism days.
Yeah, it was. Because I was... You know, a couple of times McKeesport beat the hell out of him and he didn't appreciate stuff.
Probably just didn't appreciate
sort of like how your Penn State coach didn't appreciate some of the things I would ask him when McKeesport would beat the hell out of Gateway.
Oh, Terry. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Get your furnace checked up because you're going to be running it a lot, although it's supposed to warm up just a little bit over the weekend. You're going to want to get it looked at. Make sure everything's running in proper order. Message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or you can just give them a call, 412-297-1852. They'll do that furnace checkup at 50% off if you donate a new article of kids' clothing or a brand new kids' toy for the Foster Love Project. They'll knock the furnace checkup, Impact HVAC, from $79.99 down to $39.99 and make sure you're all tuned up and ready to go the winter.
Hey, you thought I was only a pretty face that I didn't know my stuff about the Pitt football, huh?
No, I you pay attention. You don't pay attention to college football as much as I do, but you pay attention.
It just gets overwhelming. You know, I'm not going to sit there and watch Mississippi State and Vanderbilt on a Saturday afternoon. Let me tell you that much.
That would actually be a really good game right now.
I know, but I wouldn't be watching.
Sneaky good, and Vanderbilt's as good as they've ever been.
I'm more of a local guy. I'll watch the Pitts, the Penn States, and I can't watch West Virginia.
Why not?
Because they're so bad recently. But
yeah, they are. It's a little,
you know, the Pitt thing is, you know, I can't even watch anymore because of YouTube TV.
Yeah, what are you going to do this weekend?
I think I might go to Saris's Candies down the street here in Cannonsburg. I've never been there. You know, do a little tour, a little.
I know some people that work there. We could maybe hook some things up for you.
Why don't you get them to sponsor us? God darn it.
It's a hell of an idea, actually.
I mean, come on. You don't think I can, like, push or hawk the candy? But
we could both hawk the candy.
But
chocolate covered.
You know, Saris is at the point where it doesn't really need any publicity.
Yeah, they don't really need to advertise. Yeah. They got JJ Watt proselytizing for them. I just got a picture from somebody down on the North Shore. Nick from West Mifflin just sent me this picture. Herbie down there with the dogs outside of Heinz Field. Yep.
Or as Crowley screwed up on the morning show yesterday, called him Bo. I'm like, you know, that's Peter, by the way.
Let's do our picks for the weekend and then wrap it up so people can get on with their Fridays. We both got New England right yesterday, so we remain tied in the picks competition.
You know what? I did something so stupid yesterday. I was so busy with this, that, and another, and the Steelers, and taking the kid to wrestling practice. I forgot to take out Ramondre Stevenson out of my freaking fantasy lineup. Ooh. Jesus Christ. Such a rookie move.
That's tough. You're going to wear
that. What was they going to replace him with? Nick Chubb or Kyle Pitts?
Nobody cares about your fantasy team.
I know, but I'm just telling you how clueless I was yesterday.
Yeah, what else is new? All right, we both got New England over the Jets. No surprise there. There's one final Europe game. We should get McQuaid on after these Europe games are over and ask him about all of them. Washington and Miami, Commanders and Dolphins. The Dolphins, huge upset of the Bills. They might have, well, they're not going to the playoffs, but they might have a little life here. They might have a little fight left in them. The Commanders are a disaster. I don't think McLaurin will be back. Jaden Daniels, we know, is done for the year. So I think I like the Dolphins.
Yeah, you're too much worried about the recency bias. I don't think that's sustainable by the Dolphins.
They're both three-win teams.
I know, but I think the Commanders finally get a W in this one, just for the fact that I don't think that the Dolphins are going to be able to play up to the level what they did last week. I'm giving you the Dolphins.
Well, I'll give you the opposite of recency bias then, which I don't know what that is. But the Chargers play the Jaguars on Sunday. Jacksonville, probably the worst collapse. I don't know. I don't keep track of the Jaguars week by week, year by year, but probably one of the worst collapses in franchise history last week in that loss at Houston. Chargers coming off the big win over the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. I like both teams to regress to the mean, as we would say. And I think Jacksonville upsets the Chargers at home.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I mean, Jacksonville's flawed. I'm starting to.
They're both flawed. I don't. Well, I still can't figure out the Chargers.
Well, but they got Jacoby Myers, so they should be fine, right? But Trevor Lawrence is quickly jumping into that "what have you ever won" category for me. It's still the president's Justin Herbert.
I was going to say, these are two quarterbacks you just totally hate.
They haven't done anything. They put up some stats.
Okay, I mean, at least who's Herbert's winning on Sunday?
At least Herbert's put up some good stats. What has Lawrence done? He's been a colossal failure being the 1-1 pick. I think he's won one playoff game. It was against a guy that can't win anything either. Saying that, give me the Chargers.
Okay. Tampa Bay's in Buffalo. Buffalo bouncing back maybe after the loss to the Dolphins. It just feels like Tampa's finally wearing down from all the injuries. Bucky Irving's still out. Yeah, obviously, Evans and Godwin. Like, I love Emeka Egbuka. It's one of the reasons I was a huge Bucs fan coming into this season, because I think he's just going to be fantastic. But he's already fantastic. But I think Buffalo bounces back from the Miami loss and takes care of Tampa.
Yeah, this could be a really good game, huh?
It could be.
Could be. I don't know what Buffalo team you get.
That's the problem.
I don't know what Tampa team you get. Ooh, I'm just going to go with Buffalo, I guess. All right. Although I do like Tampa, but you could be right. It's getting to that point where, you know, not only the attrition setting in that with some of the injuries, but I think they're getting to the limit of being, you know, you're deep into the season and injuries. It's tough.
Bears are in Minnesota against the Vikings. The Vikings have to win out, basically, to stay in the conversation. I shouldn't say win out, but they've got to win. They can't afford many more losses. The Bears, I don't know, maybe figuring some things out.
Who have they won? Who have they beat?
You're going to make me pull up the whole schedule?
Yeah. You'll be kind of shocked.
Okay. They haven't beat anybody. They lost to the Vikings in week one. That was before J.J. McCarthy got hurt. McCarthy's back, but he's looking like a rookie quarterback, even though I know he's not technically a rookie. I still think, I don't know. I was going to take the Bears in this one, but now I don't know. Who you got?
They beat the Giants by 4, the Bengals by 5, the Commanders by 1. The Vegas Raiders by 1.
Yeah.
And they also beat the Cowboys and whatever.
The Saints.
Give me Minnesota. Just because I keep going back to it. I still think Minnesota's a hard place to play, even though they crapped the bed last week.
Yeah, and the Bears defense has hit the skids the last couple weeks.
Oh, the Giants just handed them.
Yeah.
Handed it to them. They're like, here, come take this win. We don't want it.
Man, I'm going to stick with Chicago. I'm going to regret that later. No, but I'm going to stick with the Bears.
Going 7-3.
Houston in Tennessee. Tennessee sucks. Houston's defense is really good.
We still got Davis Mills rolling though.
What?
Davis Mills is still quarterback, and Stroud's not playing.
I know, but Mills didn't look bad last week.
I'm going with the Texans.
Yeah, there we go. Carolina, Atlanta. Oof. Two quarterbacks who can't figure things out, really. Who you got? Atlanta had that game last week, too, and just Atlanta's cracked down their leg.
Carolina's a team that you think stinks, but they are able to win it, but they weren't able to run the ball. I think they'll be able to run the ball. It's going to be whoever runs the ball.
Rico Dowdle.
I'm going to sound like Bill Cowher. Like got to run the football. I'm going.
So you're
with
taking Rico, huh? Uncle
Panthers.
Rico over Bijan.
Bijan's the best, worst running back in the league. He's the best running back in the league, but his numbers don't suggest that. It's weird.
Yeah, I just don't think Penix is very good either. I thought he was going to be a little bit better.
They got a ton of weapons too.
I'm going to take Atlanta anyway. Because I like what I saw for the first, 40 minutes of that game last week from the Falcons. All right, Green Bay in New York against the football Giants.
Jay Moose.
Yeah, that guy is he is a national treasure. He's singing Hamilton songs in the middle of his media availability.
Hey, speaking of this, what do you think they're talking about in Green Bay right about now? You think they're doing fire LaFleur chants?
Well, I know someone who's a massive Packers fan, who I saw tweet out last week something like, "Yeah, this is what LaFleur looks like without Rodgers to save his ass."
Audrey.
No, Ryan Horvat.
He sounds like a Western PA guy.
He's not.
Give me not the Giants.
Give me not the Giants is a solid pick every week. This is a huge game. Doug Whaley mentioned he's going to this one. Seahawks and Rams in LA. Last time Sam Darnold played the Rams, it was ugly. That was last year's playoffs when he was with Minnesota. I really like the Rams in this one.
That is probably the game of the week, isn't it?
Yep.
Seahawks, Rams. Seahawks just dominated last week to the point where you didn't even need to play anybody in the second half.
I think whoever wins this game ends up the one seed in the NFC.
Right now, I think Seattle is the best team in the NFL. It's as we talk right now. So, but you know, Seattle tends to play well away from the old former kingdom, whatever it's called, Lumen Field, or what, I don't know what the hell it's called now. Give me the Seahawks.
Ooh, okay. That's a big one now. We're head up against each other on that one. Niners in Arizona against the Jacoby Brissett-led Cardinals. I got the Niners. Mac Jones against Jacoby Brissett. How's that for a quarterback battle?
Man, when I feel like taking the lead over you, I'm going the Cardinals.
Ooh, buddy. All right, Baltimore-Cleveland. Do we need to talk about this? There's going to be 30-mile-an-hour winds. The Ravens will probably run for 200 yards, and the Browns will be the Browns. Myles Garrett will have 3.5 meaningless sacks.
This is the game that the Cleveland and Baltimore would choke at, huh? This would be a dagger if they would lose this game, huh?
It would be. I don't see it.
Dagger. Dagger. I mean, I can't pick against. I can't pick for the Browns.
Yeah.
So
nobody can.
The Ravens. But it'll be nice to see Cleveland actually play well here. And maybe it'll be Shedeur Sanders time. Maybe.
You think?
Hey, they're one play away from him, too.
I guess. Kansas City, Denver. Denver could basically put the division away with a win here. Yeah. Which is wild. Kansas City is still the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl, by the way.
And they're not even in the playoffs.
They're not even in the playoffs right now.
That's crazy.
All that said, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, you know why?
Because Bo Nix hadn't looked all that good last month.
Coming off a bye, Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah.
Is 22-4.
That's the other thing. They just feel inevitable. It's ridiculous.
Give me the fighting. What is what's that commercial? My kid always talks about it.
No idea.
The chef's commercial in the boogity boogity or something.
Snickers.
Like that?
Yeah. Whatever. Great googly moogly.
Googly moogly. That's it. Googly moogly.
Looks great, but who are the chefs?
Great. Yeah. Googly. Give me the googly mooglies.
Detroit Philly. This actually could be low key a really good game too. I think this is Sunday night.
How about this? It's actually not a bad slate of games this week, huh?
Yeah. You got probably at least one, two, three, four, at least four really good games, I think.
What's tough about this game is Lions were so dominant. Once again, the recency bias. The Lions were so dominant last week, and the Eagles really, really struggled to put any points on the board.
That way all year.
But saying that, I think the Eagles, tough team to beat at home. Give me the Eagles.
Wow. No, Dan Campbell's calling the offense now. I think the Lions just outscore them. I think Jahmyr Gibbs has a huge day. So I'm going with Detroit. Taking Philly against the Lions. Wow.
Detroit football. Sorry for I picked like defending champs.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad pick. Given the way the offense has looked, I'm kind of surprised. All right, this game. Jeez, do they have to play this in prime time on Monday night? Cowboys against the Raiders. This is the only game that does have a total posted in the 50s. Steelers Bengals are 49.5, by the way. Cowboys Raiders. This is, I think the Cowboys will score a gazillion points, and the Raiders will probably score a gazillion minus one.
I'll just take the Cowboys, but I guess I'm glad that the YouTube TV and the great ESPN are still battling, so I don't have to watch it.
Yeah, you can watch Raw. All right, last pick, and then we'll get out of here. Bengals, Steelers, 1 o'clock on a North Shore.
I think I've been wrong every single week with the Steelers.
It feels like
last year, I think I was lost once. This year, I can't win any.
All right. Do you believe in the Aaron Rodgers bounce back and that the Steelers can simply outscore the Bengals this weekend?
I'm going to still say that they need to win these next two games to have any shot. So I think they'll win this game.
Okay.
Score-wise, I don't think it's going to be as bad as last time. Like 64 points last time? 63 points, something like that?
Yeah.
Give me 24-18, your Pittsburgh Steelers.
24-18, solidly under the total. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, relatively speaking, to what we're used to. I don't think the Steelers are going to do a great job of completely shutting down Jamar Chase. I think they give up 24, but that Bengals defense is atrocious. I think we get a big Jalen Warren game again. 30-24, the Steelers win. Although, as you pointed out, I think we've gotten it wrong just about every week.
So, Jamar. Maybe Jamar will look good.
What's with the Boston accent when you say Jamar Chase?
Yeah, but buddy Butch Hobson from Cincinnati.com or Cincinnati Bengals.com.
Oh, yeah. Jamar.
I mean, Butch is just great.
All right. We'll do a post-game episode Sunday afternoon as soon as Kaboom gets back up to the press box from the Steelers locker room. We will talk to you then. Make sure you're following on social media because we got some awesome giveaways planned for the holidays.
They must not want them. They must not want them.
It must not. And get subscribed on YouTube, too, because this Will Howard helmet is burning a hole in my desk over here. We'd like to give it to someone. Or the Stone Cold vest, for that matter. I don't know.
I think you're just going to have to give me that vest.
No, that's not happening, but nice try. We appreciate everybody for sponsoring. We appreciate all of yins for hanging out and watching, or if you're listening on iTunes and Spotify, we appreciate that as well. We'll talk to you on Sunday afternoon. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll see you. Have a great weekend.